Good morning, everybody. I just want to let you know that I'm not sick, okay? It's just this week, because of sickness, I totally lost my voice, and I couldn't speak just a few days ago, barely speak. So it's by the grace of God that I can stand up here and preach today. So bear with me as I take cough drops and drink water in between. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, please turn to Acts. We're Acts chapter 5. We're going to be in verses 12 and 16 this morning. Acts chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. Acts chapter 5. Please pray with me before we go to God's word. Oh God, we pray and we give you thanks that you have called us out of darkness, oh God. We thank you for your word. We pray as we hear your word that we would be doers of your word and not just hearers. So we pray this morning that you would open our eyes and you'd open our ears. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're able to stand with me, please stand with me as we read God's word. Acts chapter 5, verse 12. This is the word of the Lord. Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. And none of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Our subject this morning is this: how are signs and wonders essential to building up the first century church? How were signs and wonders essential to building up the first century church? We were starting a new section here in Acts. In the first section, Acts chapter 1 all the way through chapter 4, verses 22, we see a development of the apostles and their ministries. Specifically, Luke is honing in on John and Peter. In the following sections, we see in chapter 4, verses 23, going all the way to chapter 5, through verse 11, it gives us a more in-depth view of church life in the first century. So we're seeing that development as we go. And now, in this section, Luke seems to be changing topics again. You notice the shift or the abrupt change here. Next week, we'll focus back on the apostles, okay? My main idea this morning is this: all signs point to Christ. So if you're taking notes with me this morning, that's my big idea. All signs point to Christ. And so how did I bring that out of Scripture? Why is that? In verses 12 through 14, we see signs and wonders fulfilled prophecy. That's what we see. In verses 15, we see signs and wonders gave prominence to the apostles. In verses 16, we see signs and wonders gathered many people together. And so we see the uses of signs, and we're going to unpack that here this morning. So verses 12 through 14, signs and wonders fulfilled prophecy. What is that? How does that work out? So we have to ask before we even get into that, what is a sign? Have you ever thought through that? What is a sign? I wish this was a Sunday school class because we'd have feedback and we'd have fun. But anyway, we'll not go there. But the word sign in Greek, right? According to BDAG, it's a Greek and English lexicon of the New Testament, a major work that we use when we interpret scripture. That was part of my New Testament studies, was doing textual criticism, looking at Greek words and translating text. A sign is a miracle of divine origin. That's performed by God himself, or by Christ, or by a man of God. That's how you define a sign. But the Greek word says that these miracles were done by the hands of the apostles. Like, these were the men of God, right? And this is important for understanding church theology and what the apostles were called to do, okay? Now, that's a little bit on a sign, but what about this wonder? So you have this conjunction of sign or signs and wonders. Well, this word carries the understanding that something extraordinary happened or happened from above. Better to say. It was a significant event in the heavens for the ancients when they thought about wonders, right? So what does that mean? It could mean such as comets flying through the air. It was a significant wonder of the sky. Or stars aligning. There's another heavenly significance. This word, miracles, it occurs 16 times in the New Testament. And every time it's associated with the word signs. They're always together. In the context of this passage, it means that the Old Testament scriptures were being fulfilled. That's what it means in this context. When they use sign and wonders here, they're talking about Old Testament fulfillment. Listen to Joel, the Old Testament minor prophet passage. Old Testament prophet speaking of what we are reading today in Acts, some 600 years before Christ. Now this is not a sign and wonder, you know, we can all go home. He says this, Joel, he says, "And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men even see visions. Even on the male and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke, and the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." It's interesting how he ends with that, right? What is exciting, this is an exciting time that they were living in here in Acts. People were calling on the name of the Lord and being saved. What a significant thing. In verse 13, it could be a little tricky to understand verse 13 if you see it. But here's a little rough translation from the Greek that I did. And the others, it says, "And the others, none, to show boldness to join, but the people spoke highly of them." So how do we understand that? It's a little confusing. Who is the others? Who is he talking about? Didn't want to join them. It can make your head spin a little bit. What is Luke doing here? That's the question we should ask. He points out two key components of this text, okay? He is distinguishing between the church members and non-members. That's what he's doing here. These were people watching from the sidelines. And at this point, about 5,000 to 7,000 believers were in the church. That's a big number. This passage shows a clear distinction between those inside and outside the church. That's what he's doing here. It's hard to see that. But here, clearly Luke is saying some wanted to identify with them and others didn't. That's what he's saying. Some didn't dare to join them. Why? Why do you think there was frustration or lacking of people wanting to join this group of people? Well, persecution. They were getting persecuted. You know what just happened with the two apostles, John? They were locked up because they were preaching in Jesus' name. People didn't want to, right? They didn't want to lose their status with their other friends who disagreed with them. This is what was happening. This even happens today. I've seen this happen not just here, but all over the place. There's no difference. However, how the non-members of this New Testament church treated or viewed the members of the church, notice what verse 13 says at the end. They held them in great esteem. Wow, that's a reminder, right? Of saying, it doesn't matter who you are. Right, whether you're a non-member or not, how does the church treat others? That just shows you. Here's people that weren't associating with them, but they were loving them despite that. And they had nothing good to say and respect for them. Why did they hold them in great esteem? That's what we have to ask. Because they lived out what they believed. That's why. These New Testament believers, we see it all in the beginning. These New Testament believers, they lived out what they believed. They weren't afraid to commit to the church and share Christ with others. They put their money where their mouth was. And because of their boldness, people were added to the body of Christ. That's important. And as members of the New Testament church, they vowed to live differently. They vowed to live, I mean, we saw that today. They vowed to live differently in the world. It takes a commitment for a person to join a local church to say, it's not just me doing that because I like this church and I like the pastor. It's, we saw today, it's me taking a responsibility and an oath that I'm going to live like this even outside the four walls. Amen? Here's the second point that Luke points out. This text that people weren't just joining, it points out that people weren't just joining them because of signs and wonders. This is so important for today. Just because they didn't just see signs and wonders and they're like, I want to be a part of that church. They actually didn't join the church because they didn't want to be associated with them. So they're not just joining because they get something. This is what he's actively pointing out. They're not joining this church because it directly benefits them. This is something God has to do in our hearts first. They truly believed, Luke is pointing out. They truly believe what they saw and what they read and what they connected in Scripture in these signs and wonders. They believed what was happening. It was due to the finished work of the Holy Spirit. It was due to that. So today, some people believe that the power They have power to heal people in themselves, right? The so-called ministry, there's ministries that bait people, right, into feeding on people who love mystery more than the revealed mystery. Does that make sense? People want mystery, and they don't want the revealed mystery. They don't want to know that Christ is the mystery revealed. What he has done for you is the mystery revealed. They want to take the power away from Christ, and they want to assume it for themselves and say, I, as the pastor, have the power, and Christ doesn't have the power. So let's get our attention off of Christ and put it on the person doing the works. The apostles didn't do that. They pointed everyone to Christ. They pointed everyone to commitment. This is huge. They built there's people that build their net worth off of vulnerable people. They seek the gifts more than the givers. Let's not be those people. They miss the point of the whole story of Scripture. It's about Christ. Jesus says that at his resurrection. And people are like, oh man, my faith is broken because the Messiah, he died. You know, and he's walking with them in the road to Damascus. And he's like, man, you forget Scripture. All Scripture is about Christ from beginning to the end. The ultimate goal of the signs and wonders was gathering a New Testament church by showing the fulfillment of prophecy. That this fulfillment was through Christ and his body. But also, signs and wonders, they gave prominence to the New Testament apostles, we see. Notice in verse 15, signs and wonders, they gave prominence to the apostles. This is my second point here. Because these signs and wonders fulfill prophecy, those who understood the Scripture gave up everything to be a part of weird people. They gave up everything to be a part of these weirdos. They didn't just believe because of the signs and wonders we just saw, but because of the source of the signs and the wonders. The signs and the wonders pointed to Christ. Luke has already shown us that they took every opportunity after a sign was performed to proclaim the source of these signs. We saw that. It was a few weeks ago. The point was that they didn't believe in Christ. Here's the point. The point was that they would believe in Jesus. That's why they did these signs. That they would believe in Jesus, and they were added into the New Testament church. That was the point. And the results were that the believers gave up their formal religious circles because they heard the truth of Scripture. They were seeing Scripture fulfilled right before their very eyes. Jesus promises the apostles that they would do more incredible things is also being fulfilled. We saw in John chapter 14, he says that you're going to do more incredible things than I did. How in the world will that be possible? Well, we're seeing them, right, in the book of Acts. We see that Peter was receiving quite a reputation in this chapter. And there was so much commotion from him healing people that they were desperate, They hoped that they might be healed by what? Doing what? By placing the people out where the shadow of Peter would go over them. Now, it didn't say that these people were healed, but it just shows how desperate people were and how popular Peter was. They were like, maybe if I just put him down here and his shadow is going to heal them, you know. It's showing you what's going on in the people around and the clamor. That's extreme, right? These people were crying out for help That's what the text, that's what Luke is trying to show us. Luke in verse 15 is now jumping back outside the church here. So he's not in the church, but he's out in the community, showing why they had such a good reputation of those outside the church. Why is that? Because he was healing everyone. Their ministry was like Jesus' ministry. He went out and he healed everyone. They didn't have to say anything. Some of them didn't say anything at all. They reached outside the four walls and didn't just help these people. They didn't just help the people inside the four walls. The church is outside the walls. They're doing this. The gospel is for all people. He's showing us. He's going out there, sharing the gospel and healing people and showing that the gospel is for all. It's not just for a few selects. No one should have to jump through hoops to hear the gospel. That's another prominent key here. You shouldn't have to do some things in order to hear the gospel. It's free to go out everywhere. That's why we put our sermons online. Anyone can watch them. Anyone can hear the gospel. They didn't do this to show the truth. They did this to show the truth of Scripture by doing good works to point people to Jesus and to add others to the church. That was their point. There wasn't any secret here. They were showing Christ through their deeds, proclaiming Christ with their mouth, and they were saying, join, be a part of this group of believers. Why? Because we're preaching Christ and we're clinging to Christ and we're loving Christ, right? Being a part of a local church results from a changed heart. Also, as we saw last week, the church should not be used for gain. We saw that last week with the story of Ananias and Sapphira. If you are here to lie and to promote yourself, there will be judgment, we learned last week. Today, we had the privilege of adding Dennis and Lynette. And it was a privilege to walk with them. I already shared that. Through scriptures. We walked through basic scriptures, and I remember them saying, this is what we need more. And I'm like, yes, exactly. We need the basics of scripture more than ever. And hopefully we can continue to do that and continue to walk through scripture that way. They stood right here before you without shame, and once again, they confess their belief in Christ and vowing to join the local church and vowing to glorify God, right? Like what our mission statement says, God, we glorify God in gospel ministry of worship, word, and witness. This is a part of what we do here. This is what we desire here, glorifying God in our ministry, in the word spoken, and in our witness. We're not better than anyone, and all of you know that. We're not better than anyone. We're a small church with a big God. We're a small church with a big God. A God who fulfilled his promises through his apostles to point people to the church gathering, to build up and gather the church on what? On the foundation of Christ alone. And this brings us to our final point in verse 16. Verse 16, signs and wonders, they're not only showed to fulfill prophecy. They weren't, signs and wonders were not just to bring prominence to the apostles, right? But signs and wonders, they were to gather many people together. This is what we see. Verse 16 shows the Holy Spirit works through the apostles' deeds to gather the elect together under one banner. That's what they were doing. What was that banner? It was Jesus. Does verse 16 sound familiar at all? And it probably does for some of you. Isaiah, if we go back in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 11. Notice, hear the word of the Lord. It says, "You will say in that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. In that day the Lord will extend his hand yet a second time to recover the remnant of the remains of his people." From where? From Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush, from Elam, from Sinar, from Hamath, and from the coastlands of the sea. You see that in the book of Acts? He will rise. God will rise a signal for the nations and will assemble the banished of Israel and gather the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. We're in that right now. God is doing that. This is the business of God, if you want to know. He is gathering his people under his banner. And we see this in the text, the beginning of what Isaiah has proclaimed. God's plan of redemption is through Christ. We gather around him. We sing songs of him. We worship him. We cling to him for our hope. Why? Because our salvation comes from the Lord. This is the plan of redemption. This plan of redemption is not just for the Jewish nation, but extends to all peoples. As we will continue to see in the book of Acts. If you don't believe that, read the book of Acts. It's not just for one group of people. It's for all peoples of the earth, gathered and proclaiming and clinging to him. Verse 16 is showing how gracious God is. And many of these people believed in God, but they didn't know Jesus is God. This is why they were going out and proclaiming and healing. Yet, they were being healed, these people, even though they didn't know the truth yet. He is a gracious God. God is gracious to these people. The people who rejected Jesus, I want to point this out. The people that rejected Jesus, just like Paul or Peter denied Jesus three times. These people that they're going out to and healing, just hear this. These people rejected Jesus, they're getting a second chance. How gracious is God? Again, all of these miracles, they point back to Jesus. He is the one who informed the apostles that they were going to do these things to point people in the right direction, we see in Mark chapter 16. If you are a parent, or if you are a teacher, or a mentor of someone, you are intentional about what you say. Is that right? I often say things with my son at key moments of his life. I try to do this. At key moments of his life to do what? To point him to the truth. You all know the key moments in kids' lives or people's lives or your students' lives, whatever it is. There are key moments in people's lives that you can use to point them in the right direction. For example, I have his full attention when I give him a treat. You just say treat, I'm probably not jumping up right now. He is the most moldable. He is the most moldable when he receives something he loves. Isn't that true of all of us? These signs and wonders of this life didn't save people. I want you to know that. They didn't save anyone. But they held their attention to point them in the right direction. They got their attention. The signs and wonders of this life are great. The scriptures tell us the heavens declare the glory of God. The result of all of these good things we have on this earth, whether miraculous or not, should do one thing. They should point us to the maker of the good. The one that was sent to call you out of darkness into light. The one that calls you out of the world into his good pastures. Look around you and taste and see that the Lord, he is good. His love endures forever. And this week, meditate on you being here today. That's what I want you to do. This week, meditate on you being here today. Why? Because of Jesus' work and what he has done. No one is here by accident. Did I say that loud enough? I know some of you are struggling. I apologize. I can get closer to the mic here. Now, none of you are here by accident. There we go. Is that better? Yes, Boone says. You are here to be pointed to the true source of life, whether you've been a believer your whole life or whether you're not a believer. And how is the one that draws you, seeking to grab your attention today? Are you living a life only for the pleasures of this world? Are you living for the things that only pass by and go away? Are you looking only to the miraculous, maybe? Or are you seeking the Savior this morning? The one that calls those without money to eat and drink without money. I can't say that enough. Do you trust in the one who fulfills his promises? Today, get your eyes off of the fleeting things of this life and focus on the eternal things of life. Everything is fading and fleeting. And I don't say that to be discouraging, but I do that to reorient our focus on the only thing that's glorious. Are you trusting in the one who gives good gifts? And are you pointing others in that same direction? Remember this week as you go on your way, wherever it is, whatever you're doing. God gave us scripture to show us signs and wonders and these fulfilled prophecies. He gave us these signs and wonders to show us that prophecy has been fulfilled in Christ. He gave us these signs and wonders to give prominence to the apostles and their work. And signs and wonders gathered people together. And we're the direct result of people being gathered because of those works. And all of this was to show us today that all signs and wonders point to Christ. All signs and wonders point to Christ. Give glory to God and we can look to his word for that encouragement. Let's pray. Oh God, we need you. We're so thankful for your word, how even when we're not filling it, even when we feel lost and without hope, even when we say, oh man, life is a drag, I can't do it, we can look at your written word, which no one can deny, and we can find hope because we know everything points to the true hope giver, and that is Christ. Thank you, O God. We bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.